Every time I step into the pulpit here, I look at this little plaque to my left. For those of you who've never seen it or never noticed it, it says, "The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. preached from this pulpit on December 11th, 1960. The historical significance of the fact that I am standing here now in the same place he stood more than 60 years ago is not lost on me. It fills me with an incredible sense of awe and pride and humility that takes my breath away. And I must add, a twinge of the sadness that has inflicted 1,000 tiny little cuts on my heart and caused me to shed many a tear. Why would I cry, you ask? Because people who look like me, brown people, were not always welcome in our Unitarian and Universalist congregations, much less in our pulpits. Dr. Samuel A. Eliot, the first president of the American Unitarian Association from 1900 to 1927, and by the way, one of the greatest administrators our denomination has ever known, once referred to blacks as, quote, "more nearly brutes than anything I have ever known." He and many of his contemporaries believed that blacks lacked the intellectual capacity to grasp Unitarianism. Eliot's attitude would soften over the years. He would later write, "As to the darkies, I can't get enough of them. Our men are above average, for they can read and write, but such happy-go-lucky, merry, shiftless rascals as they all are, I never get tired of listening to them. I've seen a great deal of them, for they work best with a white man bossing them all the while, and I have had that duty several times." I know. That was 100 years ago. Let's move forward to the late 50s, just a couple of years before Dr. King came here to speak. Dana Greeley was president of the AUA. Speaking about David Eaton, a seminarian at Boston University, a black man, Greeley said, "Personally, I'd love to have you, but I'm afraid we couldn't settle you. Congregations are not ready for a black minister." Fast forward 60 years to December 2015. During a seminar on the ministerial settlement process, in response to my question about my career prospects, UUA Transitions Director Keith Cron bravely, honestly, and with love told me, he warned me, that a lot of congregations will say they're ready for a minister of color, but they're really not. Ouch. I didn't know what to make of this news. The foundation upon which I'd built my dream of becoming a minister was threatening to come crashing down all around me. Sure, when I looked around at the sanctuary at First Unitarian, where I was a member, and at JPD meetings and at General Assembly, I saw a few people who looked like me. Not a lot, but some. I knew of Frances Ellen Watkins Harper, Howard Thurman, Bill Sinkford, and David Eaton, who did end up getting a church, by the way, All Souls DC. These are the big names in African American, Unitarian, Universalist, and Unitarian Universalist history. But it wasn't until I took Mark Morrison Reed's class on African American UU history at Meadville Lombard that I learned the truth. He stood before us one day, arms outstretched, all 6'3" or 6'4" of him, tears streaming down his face. "We were always there." He listed the names of Unitarians, Universalists, and UUs I'd never heard of. "We were always there," he cried. He cried for them. Many of them all but lost to history. Their contributions, their participation, their very existence in this denomination, all but forgotten. He cried for them all that day. We all did. We still do. We cry for Joseph Jordan, the first African American to be ordained as a Universalist minister and founder of the First Universalist Church of Norfolk, and a day school that at its peak served 90 to 100 kids every week. We cry for Peter Humphreys Clark, educator, abolitionist, writer, and speaker who became a member of the First Unitarian Church of Cincinnati in 1868, its first and only black member until 1952. We cry for Clarence Bertrand Thompson, the first African American in ministerial fellowship with the AUA. He had bachelor's and master's degrees from Harvard in sociology and economics, was a lawyer, and served as minister of the Unitarian Church of Peabody from 1906 to 1909. We cry for William Jackson, a Baptist minister who wanted to convert to Unitarianism and sought to be a Unitarian minister, only to be turned away by the AUA during its annual meeting in 1860. After being snubbed by the AUA, he stayed a Baptist and left Unitarianism behind. We were always there, and many are still here. Even after losing a significant number of black UUs over the empowerment controversy in the late 1960s, we're still here. Brené and Dallas are still here. Fran and Cy are still here. So many more are still here. Marge Struthers and Jim Bolden down at First are still here. In 1940, there were two black Unitarian ministers. At Meadville Lombard today, there are 7 black seminarians out of approximately 100. 3 of us are planning to go into parish ministry. There are black ministers, black music directors, black religious educators, and denominational leaders. A black man, William Sinkford, was even president of the UUA. And next month, I'll join my colleagues at Finding Our Way Home, the annual retreat for UU religious professionals of color. A lot of really good people, black, brown, and white, many of you in this room, have worked tirelessly to end racism in our society. Ministers and congregations all over the country have given their hearts and souls to building communities that reflect the diversity of our multicultural society. I'm not downplaying that work at all or giving it short shrift. I am incredibly grateful to those who have fought the good fight and who continue to fight it every day. Because of their efforts, we're making progress, but we're not there yet. Keith's comment told me that. We've come a long way, and we still have a long way to go. Little over a year ago, I was asked to preach specifically about race at the UU Fellowship of Lower Bucks. When I mentioned this to some friends, the response was, "Let them have it," or "give it to him good," or something to that effect. And that bothered me a lot. Racism is real. My lecturing anybody about white privilege wasn't going to get us anywhere. Instead, I told them what it's like for me to be a Black UU and let them connect the dots for themselves. So let me share a little bit of what I told them. To me, being a Black UU is great most of the time, and sometimes it feels lonely. Kent and I go to the UU Ministers Association meeting every month. It's lonely being the only one there month after month after month. Or as my friend Walter puts it, being the only chocolate chip in the cookie. Sometimes as a Black UU, I feel unimportant. This is the flip side of feeling lonely. We say in our eagerness to be inclusive, I don't see color. We're all the same on the inside. While we may have things in common, we're not all the same anywhere, inside or out. I want you to see my Blackness. I just don't want that to be all you see. My Blackness is as much a part of who I am as are my hazel eyes. Don't treat me any differently because of it, but don't ignore it either. It hurts when you tell me to my face that you're colorblind. It tells me that you don't view me as a whole person. When you refuse to see all of me, you see none of me. Sometimes I feel frustrated. There's more to the race problem in this country than police violence. There's generational poverty, inferior schools, financial illiteracy, unemployment, underemployment, and lack of opportunity. This is about the perpetuation of systemic oppression. There are things that people who look like me often deal with every day that others don't have to. Systemic racism runs deep in our society. Sometimes it's blatant, and sometimes it's subtle and nuanced. Like the time I was stopped by Mississippi State Police while driving from Memphis to Atlanta. The officer said, "That's an awfully nice car you have there. Where are you going?" Or the time I was stopped by police in my own neighborhood in suburban Denver and asked, "What was I doing there?" Or that a classmate of mine, a young Black man, told me he wears glasses to soften his face so he won't look scary to white people. And he wears a dress shirt every day so that he won't look threatening. That breaks my heart. He can't focus on being a UU because he's busy just living while Black. How does it feel to be a Black UU? Sometimes I feel wary. Unitarian and Universalist and Unitarian Universalist attention to anti-racism has waxed and waned over the years as issues such as women's suffrage, reproductive freedom, Vietnam, immigration, LGBTQ issues, and marriage equality move to the forefront of our collective denominational conscience. We were back up again the last couple of years with Black Lives Matter, but that's already slipping in the wake of the anti-Trump movement. I'm afraid that this last surge was only another wave in a cycle that dates back 200 years. I'm not ready to have my heart broken again. How does it feel to be a Black UU? Most of the time it's great, and sometimes I feel tired. When I started seminary, I also had to start using Facebook. I'd put it off as long as I could. One day, I responded to something that a UU from another area had posted online. I wasn't trying to strike up a racial conversation, but when she saw from my profile picture that I'm black, that's what happened. It was okay the first, second, and third times. The trouble was, that was all she ever wanted to talk to me about. I was getting instant messages every day about white people's reaction to Black Lives Matter. They were there when I woke up in the morning. She was sending them to me at 11:30 at night. I was tired. And at the same time, I had more than one new classmate introduce themselves to me by telling me that their church has a Black Lives Matter sign, or by prefacing all their comments with an apology for their white privilege. I seriously considered dropping out of seminary if this is what it was going to be like. I walked out of the building, the director of admissions followed me, and I went back in. But I wasn't sure. It all just made me so tired. I just wanted somebody to talk to me about dogs. I love dogs. Or music. I play the piano. Or tennis. Kent's always teasing me about getting up at 3:30 in the morning to watch the Australian Open live. I didn't know how to tell people that it's okay to talk to me about something besides race. I was so tired. But like they say, be careful what you wish for. Now it's not about race. They're moving on again as the conversation focuses on Donald Trump and the perceived threats his administration presents to our society. You see, it's never easy. Sometimes I'm lonely, tired, wary, frustrated, all at the same time. And yet, I'm still here. This is my chosen faith. I'm proud to be a Unitarian Universalist. I'm committed to pursuing my calling as a UU minister. Committed to ending racism, discrimination, and oppression. Committed to helping others explore their own spirituality and search for their personal religious truth. I'm still here, standing on the shoulders of Joseph Jordan, Peter Humphreys Clark, Clarence Bertrand Russell, and William Jackson. This is their faith too. I'm building on what they started, claiming my own place in our history. And I'm proud to be on this journey alongside Bill Sinkford, Ade Amakraba, Daniel Gregoire, Cheryl Walker, and Mark Morrison Reed, and so many, many others. And I'm proud to call them my colleagues. We're not all the way there yet, wherever there is. What I know for sure is that those of us who are here today have been entrusted with the stories of those who came before. By honoring their legacy, we will ensure that their experiences remain part of the UU story and that their stories are passed on to those who come after us. Through us, future generations will see that we were always there and always will be. May it be so. Amen and Ashe.